Okay, we will move over to our public comment section. Good morning, everyone. I am Rob Bizzle, Chairman of the North Carolina Marine Fisheries Commission, and would like to welcome you to our public comment session, where you have a unique opportunity to, on the record, give comments in regards to the Marine Fisheries Commission's management of the state's public trust, estuary, and marine resources. I ask you to limit your comments to 3 minutes. I remind you, when you have approximately 30 seconds left, the screen will turn yellow at that time. Remember, this is a time to share a concern or gather information, not to be confrontational. I do have a mute button. I will use it. Okay, first up, let's see, where did our list? Okay. Who's our first up? I thought we had a list up here.
We did. We have Mr. Stuart Crichton up first.
Okay. Stuart, good morning.
Good morning, guys. I shared this email with you because I'm sure it's going to run long, so I'll just read pieces of that during the comment today. How do I adequately express my concerns in 3 minutes? How can I convey with enough conviction that our fisheries are in serious trouble, principally because this commission and division will not manage in a timely and proactive manner? During this meeting, perhaps more than others, all of the issues that I and many others have brought to your attention in the past are once again staring at you, still demanding action. The kind of action that you've been unwilling to take, but the kind of action you must take and take now in order to recover our dwindling stocks. First, our striped bass continue to decline. Evidence shows that in every major river system, the fish are depleted and overfished, with overfishing continuing to occur. The reasons cited are numerous. Physical factors such as locks and dams in the Cape Fear, incorrect flows on the Neuse, Tarpan, and Roanoke rivers, and overfishing with excessive bycatch from both user groups. The news is especially troubling on the Roanoke River Albemarle Sound because this has been the one area of the state where natural spawning occurs regularly. Now, 5 years of excessive flows during the spawn have resulted in little to no recruitment. Yet during that time, harvest continued with no action by the division. No adjustments were made to allow the landings. No changes were called for to recreational or commercial gear. The only thought seemed to be, just keep harvesting, it'll be better next year. Now, once again, the angling community is forced to consider drastic choices if we are to recover the stock. Realistically, and unfortunately, another long-term closure is the best option. Striper bycatch in shad nets is high, as it is in large mesh flounder nets. When will these gears be removed? Stripers can easily be caught with hook and line, as can shad, and commercial fishermen would be very successful catching their daily limit if hook and line fishing replaced gill nets. According to the division, adaptive management measures were built into the striper FMP. Why did it take 4 years for them to be proposed for the Roanoke River and Albemarle Sound? Next.
30 seconds.
Skip up to this. I'm not going to get finished. New management measures are now up for consideration in the southern flounder fishery, another one that has been severely overfished for decades. You've got a 72% reduction that you're facing, and you've got an unfair allotment between commercial and recreational fishermen that's proposed as 73 to 27. That split is inequitable, and it needs to go to 50-50. Obviously, guys, I've got a lot more, but I'm out of time, so I'll conclude it there.
Thank you, Stuart, for your comments. Okay, I found my list. Next up is Dennis Cox. Dennis, good morning. Is Dennis with
us? Mr. Cox, he's here. Mr. Cox, I'm going to unmute you now so you may speak.
Okay, great.
And you should be good to go.
Yep. How y'all doing this morning?
Doing fine. I hope you are.
Good, good. I don't got no prepared speech, but I'm just going to tell you how life is. I'm a commercial fisher, 35 years. where I don't know where y'all coming up with this rotten data, but I'm gonna expose marine fisheries on how many fish is out there, because I'm on Facebook now and I got pound nets. This morning I dumped 500 to 1,000 pounds of herring overboard. There's plenty of rot. I mean, I call people and try to show them how to do a drop. Yesterday, that's just rot ungodly. Data would not show what's out there. That computer would not tell you what's out there in that sand. These recreation or whatever that wants to fight us about laws, I won't see a boat for 50 miles, but yet we're overfishing it. I don't understand that. We need marine fishing to step up and support commercial fishing. That's what we're here for. The marine fishing is supposed to support us, not be against us in everything we do. We're catching shad on drops. We're catching rock on drops. I'm catching so many fish right now. I've never seen nothing like it. Never. And I keep hearing there's no rock. There's no rock. If marine fishing would take advantage of the situation and go against the water quality people, a lot would get done. And also, all I want to know is how can I, as a citizen of the United States, I mean, North Carolina, get to remove the board for the state of North Carolina? What can I do to replace the 9 people on the board? I'm asking that question. What can we be done? Because you cannot have 9 people that don't disagree on everything about commercial fishing. It needs to be somebody that has an open mind and listens to both sides instead of just having one-track mind. You cannot be one-track mind when you make decisions for commercial fishing. Vice or recreation. I think it should be everybody should have an open mind and not a closed. They got closed minded when they go in there, and it should be no CCA member on a commercial board, period. Can y'all hear me?
Yes, sir.
I'm flabbergasted how much money the commercial fishing generates for the state of North Carolina yet. Everybody wants to shut down commercial fishing.
You got 30 seconds.
Well, I got a lot of seconds, but I'm just telling y'all, what can we do about the board?
The commission is totally appointed by the governor. These are his appointees.
The governor needs to be fired. The governor needs to be fired, then, because you cannot have anti-commercial people on a board. There is no way possible you could do that.
And thank you for your comment, sir.
That's like putting an atheist on a daggone Christian board.
Thank you for your comments. Time is up. Okay. Okay. Next one up is David Sneed. And after him, it'll be Kenneth Siegler. Morning, David.
Good morning, Mr. Chairman. And thank you for this opportunity to offer comments on behalf of the Coastal Conservation Association here in North Carolina. First, we support the effort to look at hook and line gear modifications to reduce recreational discard mortality. We are concerned that there is not a one-size-fits-all approach that provides a universal solution. We encourage the commission instead to look at it on a case-by-case basis where the use of circle hooks or modified treble hooks is appropriate for the target species. We were deeply concerned when the Roanoke River Albemarle Sound striped bass stock assessment came out that indicates yet another important stock is overfished. There have been calls for moratorium or at least a greatly reduced quota. However, there has been no discussion about how to address the other source of fishing mortality, and that's bycatch and gillnets, which will greatly impede or prevent recovery. While bycatch estimates are controversial, there's no doubt that as the stock recovers, bycatch will increase. Expanding the current gillnet restrictions would be the most effective option, yet it is not on the table. This made me curious, so I looked at the numbers behind why we do not want to address this issue head on to try to figure out what I might be missing. In 2019, there were 194 commercial participants in the ASMA striped bass fishery landing approximately 136,000 pounds, which equates to roughly $1,900 per participant for the year. The 2021 ASMA total allowable commercial landings will be capped at 25,608 pounds. With the same 194 participants, that will mean roughly $360 per participant for the year. I also pull the landings data from the Southern Flounder Allocation Issue Paper, another stock that has been overfished for decades. The average annual total landings by gillnets from 2008 to 2017 was roughly 898,000 pounds at an average price per pound of $2.64. On average, there were 808 participants, so they each made around $2,900 per year for that time frame. With the current 2021 allocation for gillnets reduced to 195,105 pounds, each of those 800 participants can expect to make $638 for the year. In the meantime, hundreds of thousands of pounds of summer flounder continue to be landed in North Carolina, providing millions of dollars of revenue to commercial fishermen.
30 seconds.
There is public access to fresh caught flounder for the dinner table and the real money for the industry. So why are we propping up the part-time southern flounder and striped bass fisheries at the expense of our resources? I understand that people just want to make a living, but what if a resource can no longer support that way of making a living? I look forward to hearing what I am missing during your discussions this week. Thank you for your service and for your consideration of the future of our public trust resources.
Thank you, David, for your comments. Okay, Kenneth Siegler, followed by our representative Haney.
Thank you, Mr. Chairman. I have a few concerns here. One, I'm watching the internet and most of these social media pages, and it appears there's a lot of people out there, recreational fishermen, who don't want to see a change in the allocation because they don't want to see their bag limit reduced. Unfortunately, that's what would have to occur if you approve the option for reallocation of southern flounder resources. And I'd like to bring to your attention, in your booklet, sir, that you have, it says changes in allocation may alter the rebuilding schedule. That's on page 243. And in page 246, it says changes in allocation may alter the rebuilding schedule. Projections for rebuilding use a model that accounts for the rate of removal according to the size class of each sector harvested to estimate the changes in SSB. Allocation changes would impact the overall size limit of fish removed from the population and could therefore have some impact on model projections. My concern here is we'll reference rebuilding schedule. And my question for the commission is basically, in General Statute 143B-289.52, it says a supermajority commission shall be 6 members. A supermajority shall be necessary to override all recommendations from the Division of Marine Fisheries regarding measures needed to end overfishing or to rebuild overfished stocks. So we're talking about changing a rebuilding schedule on an overfished stock. Would that not require, I guess my question is, would that not require a supermajority vote of the commission to go into the Southern Flounder Fisheries Management Plan and change that allocation process? That about concludes what I've got to say on the Southern Flounder, and I appreciate it. Now, I'm not quite sure whether the gillnet options are going to be discussed in this meeting. I didn't see them on the agenda, so I'm guessing they're for the next advisory committee meeting.
30 seconds.
Thank you. Thank you.
Thank you, Cam. Appreciate your comments. Representative Haneg, followed by Bert Owens. Is Representative Haneg on board?
I've unmuted.
Yes, I'm on board.
Okay. Good morning, Representative.
Just a quick introduction, then a comment. Representative Bobby Haneg. I represent Currituck, Dare, Hyde, and Pamlico counties. I'm in my second term. I wanted to make everyone out there aware that there's been a new committee formed here at the General Assembly. It is called the Marine Resources and Aquaculture Committee. The focus of this committee is to help grow our marine resources and aquaculture industry and to improve our water quality, to ensure North Carolina seafood and recreational fishing and aquaculture continue to thrive for generations to come. I'm confident we can achieve these goals with good, honest discussion and reasonable solutions to challenges and opportunities we face. I encourage you to contact my office with any concerns or recommendations. The phone number is 919-733-5906, or you can email me at bobby.hannig@ncledge.gov. My comment, a pretty straightforward comment. I believe Mr. Corrigan, although well-intended, has overstepped his bounds by preparing a 10-year management plan for the Albemarle Roanoke striped bass stock. Statute 143-289-22 gives the MSC the power to adopt fishery management plans as provided to establish a priority list to determine the order in which fishery management plans are developed, to establish a schedule for the development and adoption of each fishery managed plan, and to establish guidance criteria as to the contents of fishery management plans. It is not the duty of the MSC or an individual commissioner to prepare FMPs GS 113-182-1. The department shall prepare FMPs for adoption by the MFC. This plan to permanently prohibit gill nets and temporarily close recreational harvest is neither equitable or necessary. This stock has been depleted in the past and was successfully rebuilt by managing, not eliminating harvest and gears, and can be done again. And those are my comments. Thank you so much.
Thank you, Mr. Haney. Appreciate that. And finally, Bert Owens. Bert, good morning.
I'd submit some written comments online regarding flounder. I didn't know if y'all would get a chance to read it, but please do if you get the opportunity. But I'm just going to recap them here. When Southern Flounder Amendment 2 came along, it shut anglers out of the ocean flounder fishery. Now, no doubt some southern flounder are occasionally caught in the ocean, but they can also be returned to the water. In contrast, commercial vessels were not shut out of the fishery, and in fact, recently had their season extended by 2 days with a 15,000-pound landing limit. Now, North Carolina has the largest quota of summer flounder in the nation and allows anglers zero fish except during the short southern flounder season. Virginia has the second largest quota and allows their anglers four fish at 16.5 inches all year long. New Jersey has the third largest quota. They allow their anglers three fish May through September. Now, speaking of the Fisheries Reform Act, like the gentleman just did, it also says that the duty of the commission is to manage recreational and commercial groups fairly. Now, that's the duty, and it says fairly. With the commercial fishery continuing to unchanged in the ocean and anglers shut out, it's obvious that the fairness standard is not being met. Many small boat anglers and small charters can access these fish on the right days on nearshore reefs and structure. You'd be fulfilling your duty, now talking about a duty, to open this fishery back up to anglers. And in light of one red drum, one gray trout, and now we cut to three bluefish, it's surely needed to give the small boat guys a reason to come to the coast, spend a little money, and teach the kids how to fish. So, hope y'all have a good meeting. Thank you.
Bert, thanks for your comments. Okay, that ends our public comment period.